It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
JJ tweeted something very funny. If you missed it earlier, we played a clip of KD talking to Kay Adams in a way that would suggest they may meet up for barbecue. At least that was the invite when she comes to town to watch Rockets play. JJ says, does KD tell Kay where my hug at? Never liked those guys in high school.
No, and I can't deny that I understand the question.
Yes, but we won't allow that slander for a current Rocket.
No.
If he was still a son,
yes,
we would
have at it.
We would say, yeah,
yeah,
probably right,
100%.
JJ. But showing our hypocrisy, he's a Rocket. He would never do that.
He's undefeated as a Houston Rocket.
Never lost. Never lost.
He's good.
Yeah.
I have nothing bad to say about him.
But miss a game winner against the Thunder, then we'll see. He'll definitely
I might got something for you.
Definitely is a where my hug at guy after that. But no, JJ, he would never do that.
No.
It's awkward anyway. He's like seven
He's made $300 million.
He's 7 feet tall. It's awkward to say where my hug at. Have some 5'4 girl. Okay, let me give you a hug.
He's a top seven or top 75.
He's a top 10 player of all time.
Yeah.
He's not saying where my hug at.
Top 20.
Well, see, he's a Rocket. He's a top 10 player.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
As a son, he's a top 25 player.
He just bumped James Harden in top 10 spot.
Current Rocket versus former Rocket who put on the team.
Yeah.
KD, top 10 player. And he's got, you know, some finals MVPs as well. That might help his resume.
That does help. He was good in 2018. Man, he was
it
good.
Has been
I wish
a
he
while.
Was a little worse.
It has been a while, yes. Yes. But, yes, he had some moments against the Rockets like the rest of the league. During those couple years when he was a Warrior. All right, so JJ, no. KD would never.
No.
But I understand the sentiment. Also, we got to something very early in the show, the status of Dana Brown and Joe Espada. Dana Brown told us that he is the general manager today, tomorrow, and later in the week. Now, if he goes beyond that, that's up for debate. But for right now, Dana Brown is the manager, and he wants to add a starting pitcher, whether that be through trade or free agency, and a left-handed bat, which is kind of echoing what they were talking about at the trade deadline. There are some factors that kept that from happening. He didn't want to talk about his contract, and I understand that, but that'll be a pressing question until there is a resolution there. I don't know if he'll be a lame duck guy where they just let him close out his deal and then move on, but as of now, he thinks he is he's the manager of the Astros. Maybe Jim Crane is like, you're not going to be here. Maybe he pulls a Magic Johnson meme.
He's like, I'm just a little
bit later.
I'm just waiting to cross my T's and dot the I's on Jeff Luno and AJ Hinch coming back.
Yeah, bringing the boys back. We'll see where they go from there. He was also asked about the injuries the Astros suffered this year. Of course, most of the focus was on the pitchers, considering it was just a wave of those guys. And he says it's an industry-wide issue, but they will take a look at every aspect of their baseball operations. While you can get the bail saying that it's happening across the league, the return to play mechanisms in place, those need to certainly be not just looked at, but changed.
That to me is the, like, because he is right that, like, everyone gets arm injuries. It is the everyone takes longer to come back when they're an Astro. or that they come back, try to come back, can't. Oh, actually, we didn't run imaging on our best player's hand when he said his hand hurts. So we had him take batting practice. Now it hurts more. It's Jake Myers looks like he dies in center field before first pitch happens and has to get carted off. Again, before the game starts. He made a return that didn't last warm-ups. That's the stuff that you need to look at. I think that the, you know, chasing the spin rate stuff, that's what every team in baseball does. It's no surprise that the Astros are one of the best teams at getting guys to increase spin rate. They have a lot of hurt pitchers. The Dodgers are also really good at that. Guess what? they also hurt a lot of pitchers. Yankees, very good at, they get a lot of injuries to their pitching staff as well. So I think it is, I think it is kind of that simple of like, the if you're chasing spin rate so hard, it is putting extra wear and tear on guys' arms. The issue is they sit there and say that it'll take 12 months for these guys to come back from Tommy John, and it consistently takes 18 months.
Yeah, and that is clearly specifically with the pitchers. Then you run down the position.
Yeah, they're bad at with the hitters, too.
They can never figure out how hurt they are, how long they should be out, and when they should come back. So he said they'll take a look at that. We will see if there are real changes made. That's all we really care about. We appreciate you looking into it.
Yeah, it's we could have used that last year.
Well, it stretches back to 2022. James Click thought there was a problem with their return to play stuff. And as I said before, there's no indication that was a reason he got fired. There probably were other reasons, but he never got the chance to do that investigation. So someone in that organization thought there was a problem at least 3 years ago.
I was going to say, if I got a job and the guy before me was looking into the injury rehab thing and he was in the midst of gathering the data on that, I wouldn't just be like, trash can. Well, changing anything.
Yeah, to be fair to Dana Brown, the guy before him was signing Rafael Montero and Jose Abreu.
That is true.
So he had some other stuff to follow.
Probably not looking for that.
Dana Brown wasn't the guy after the guy, like the guy who led the team to great success. He had the opportunity to be the guy who followed that guy.
It is crazy. It's crazy that they won the World Series and then had a 3-month off season where they let Jim Crane and Jeff Bagwell run the team. And all those moves ended up
being disastrous.
If not shutting the window, because they were very close in 2023 to winning
Bale.
If
they could win a home game, they'd be back in the World Series.
But at the same, and even now, they won the division last year. They're a tiebreaker away from making the playoffs this year. So it's not like they've fallen super far into absolute disrepair.
Yeah, they're not the Angels.
Yeah. At the same time, or it is all these little things just add up, and it's like that Abreu Montero offseason is horrendous, and those guys are just now coming off the payroll for the Astros.
Yeah, and you had to go get yourself
a replacement first baseman.
A first baseman and Christian Walker.
He might also be a salary dump.
Yeah, that you have to get rid
less
of.
Because of how he played, honestly, and more just because you also went out and traded for Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
And now you have Paredes and Correa and Peña.
Altuve and Peña.
It's like...
Yeah, you may not have...
Someone has to play somewhere, out of position somewhere.
So maybe Christian Walker is the guy.
Yeah, and you teach Paredes to play first.
Yeah, and he's played some at first. I think Jeremy Ranum... Because he loves to interact on Twitter. I think I saw him tweet that Paredes has played 78 games there or something like that.
Okay.
I think that's the number I saw. So it isn't something where it'll need to be a completely crash course foreign, where he doesn't know anything about it. So maybe they do already have their option, and the question will be what they can get for Christian Walker to get him off the books.
I would take it is a little insulting, a little out of order.
Oh, okay. Let's see how out of order it is.
I mean, I think you would just accept a trade if you just get nothing.
To get him off the books.
Yes, the redux of the Carlos Correa trade, except you're the ones trading away the major league guy under contract, where the Astros traded a 29-year-old single-A pitcher with a 7 ERA for Carlos Correa. It's but the Twins just wanted – they get the money off the books. I think that, that's something I would look at if the market isn't there for Christian Walker. Just be like, hey, does anyone want a free Christian Walker, essentially? You just have to pay him?
Nearly free. Nothing, no assets in return. Nothing of any value.
And then if you do have, bidder, then sure, take a flyer. I mean, you're not going to get, anyone A+, but take a flyer on, a double A arm or something where it's hey, we're the Astros. We'll probably need this guy to pitch 70 innings for us next year.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't get on base as much as you like his OPS, as far as we start to look at compared to previous seasons, it's the lowest in his in his last four seasons.
Yeah.
You got to go back to 2021 for him to have a lower OPS. But he hit the 27 home runs, so there's still some pop there.
I think led the team in home runs and RBI.
Yeah, so.
Some of that's availability, but still.
Sure, yes. Yordan not being available.
It's the Pena best ability
ever. Missing. I've heard that before. From a lot of coaches, in fact. So, John Mapes has a new career, if he so chooses. Yeah. He's got the cliches in his back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Christian Walker could be a guy that people look at and go, you know what, that's one down year as far as getting on base. But the pop is still there. Maybe they'll take a look at him and see if there's something that can be done. But so, as far as Walker and hitting, and you mentioned availability, it's the reason why he led the team in those categories. There were some concerns about that lineup. We talked about it in the first hour, how that lineup, even when it was at its best as far as health was concerned, didn't come through in situations. So a lot of people think someone's got to pay for that. Espada was asked about potential changes, and he said, we're just a couple days after the season. That's stuff we still have to evaluate. No decisions have been made as far as who's going to be back on their coaching staff. Does someone just for optics has to pay? Do the Astros operate that way?
I kind of think they do.
Does someone have to pay? Particularly if you're bringing back the two top guys for whatever reasons they're coming back, whatever it is, the lack of options, or maybe they believe in both of them. Does someone on that staff, and not someone that is like a kind of a back of the, or very bottom of the coaching staff roster, yeah, that no one's going to care,
yeah,
about.
Yeah, someone who has a picture on the team page.
Yeah, there's someone who people can name and go, he's like someone who's being tweeted about as the problem, a certain player isn't playing well, a lineup isn't performing. Does that person have to go? Cintron's the name people are going to keep bringing up, and I don't know if that's how the Astros want to operate, just have a scapegoat. But if you just start to look at how that lineup performed, it would be something that can be justified.
Yeah, or can you do the thing like college football?
Where you demote him?
Not demote him, re-sign.
Where it's like within the organization?
Yeah, like you're now just the passing game coordinator. We're bringing in a running game coordinator who also call plays. But you're still the offensive coordinator, game coordinator.
You collect your checks, you give you a title, yeah, like, stuff like that.
But now, you know, it's Nebraska hiring Dana Holgorsen in November of last year to be like, hey, how about you call the plays, huh? But essentially pass the sticks. If you can have like a hitting consultant who is more or less the hitting coach, even if it's just focusing on like, let's change how we approach runners and scoring position situations going forward. Like, I think that is something that's, I mean, we all watch the games. Like, that's something that they need to get better at, is cashing in when you have guys in scoring position. That's, you know. I mean, again, they missed the playoffs by one game. If they were a little bit better than that, we're having completely different conversations. We're reacting to game one of the wild card series that they played in, or we might even be talking about how they're on a bye and they have the one or two seats. So I think that it is less than like ceremonial. I don't think you need like a big change, but I do think that you need a different voice in there, whether that's just adding someone or subtracting someone and then replacing them.
Well, Cintron told the Puerto Rican paper Nuevo Dia that his contract has expired with the Astros. Okay. He doesn't rule out coming back.
Yeah.
He's also interested in possibly looking to see if there's another opportunity, maybe as a manager. But he is done as far as his contract. So the Astros don't actually have to make a decision as far as firing him.
Yeah, they just need to make the negotiation.
Not bringing him back.
Yeah,
evaluation. Yeah, so there it is. Cintron out of contract with the Astros, so you
that
make
would
it
be
your
the
wish.
Change, right?
Yeah,
it'd be probably him or Espada,
probably.
Right?
You don't have to fire him. The contract's expired, and you move to go find another hitting coach.
And the pitching coach is like, I'm good, dude. Like, you see
Jason Alexander.
You see Brandon Walter and, yeah, AJ Blue Ball. Like, I'm pretty satisfied with what we got going there if I'm the Astros. So I think it's something like that. I think Espada, like, it's definitely worth the conversation of do we think that he's the right voice in the clubhouse and all that stuff? Because to me, you know, baseball managers are less about, like, who do you put in the sixth inning of a tight game and It's more about just the day-to-day grind of the season and keeping guys focused and keeping guys, you know, united as a clubhouse. If you think that there's something where he's coming up short there, that's a thing that's hard to judge from the outside unless it's like a total fiasco. But I think that's something that also needs to be looked at as far as how he's connecting to the clubhouse, because it is a different, you know, it's a different makeup than the Astros teams that he came up with. He's been with the organization for so long. You know, 2018, that was a completely different team than the one he's going to have next season.
So Cintron will be managing the Dominican Republic
team. Oh, WBC?
I'm trying to make sure that Dominican Republic Winter League. No, it's
Winter League. Yeah. Where they go back home.
Yeah.
And so, you'll have like, it's very funny. You'll get like really good players playing in those games for like for a week or something.
It is a higher level than like when we see NBA players playing in like NBA and like not even summer league.
It's Drew
like
League.
Drew League stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It is better than that because there's like professionals on both sides and a lot of them.
Yeah.
It's just not all of them are MLB players, but even there's a good amount of MLB players. Didn't like Rafael Montero like close out like the Dominican World Series, which is a funny sentence to say.
the World closing Series. Out a World Series of Dominican Republic. Yeah.
Just like it's the World Series of America and Toronto.
Yeah, that what's been called out in the past, and that's why the World Baseball Classic is a thing now.
When you make it not MLB and you make it Dominican Winter League, and it's like, oh yeah, World Series is an absurd term to have for this.
Yeah, it was what was it? Noah Lyles was getting on the whole
World Champion of what?
And the NBA players and just pro players overall didn't have a lot of kind things to say.
World champion of what?
Rooting against America in the Olympics. That's how far it went. That's how upset they were.
I think track and field is the only one where maybe it's just like the time that I started paying attention to the Olympics, because like Usain Bolt was almost given like honorary American status.
It was so great and so cool.
Everyone just loved him so much.
But. No allows. You're so annoying.
Nope.
We're going to root for not just other Americans, people from other countries to beat you in the Olympics.
Anyone but you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who it is. Well, we don't know anything about those people. We just don't want you to win.
The token white guy that somehow makes the final of the 100.
From Sweden. Somehow. Yeah. We're going to root for him to win over
Dutch
you.
Guy in lane 8. We'll root for him.
So I think he won a gold and then he won a bronze in Paris. He won the 100 and then he lost the 200.
Yeah.
Or not and, lost. He was a bronze
sick,
medalist.
Right? Was he sick?
Yeah, he was ill for one of those events, but still won a gold. But wasn't enough. Hey, you won a gold, but you won a bronze, so we kind of win, right? If we don't like you, I guess.
When you win the 100, it's the premier event
in track. Yeah, no one can say a word to you, but they tried. They certainly tried.
They did try, and it's one of those. I hate to hand it to them, but you got to hand it to them.
They were like NBA players who he won.
Damn.
Yeah, but he won the 100. It's like, what are we doing? All right, we'll go to break with that. When we come back, we have another giveaway to do. If you want a chance to watch a legacy franchise, we're going to give you a chance to do that for free. We'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So we'll do this here. At 11:30, caller 4 wins a 4-pack of tickets to the advanced screening on October 7th and a $100 Visa gift card courtesy of Tron Ares. Follow a highly sophisticated program, Ares, who was sent from the digital world into the real world on a dangerous mission, making humankind's first encounter with AI beings. If you want to go see the third installment, I believe, a third movie in the Tron series, call in. What did I say? Caller 4?
Yes, you said caller 4.
Caller 4 at 11:30. 713-780-3776 wins that $100 Visa gift card courtesy of Tron Ares and the 4 tickets to the advanced screening on Tuesday, October 7th. The movie itself comes out October 10th, so you get to see it a little bit early and get yourself a $100 gift card to use on whatever you'd like.
It's before Michael normally gets to see these movies and doesn't invite us.
Yeah, Michael has mentioned me in an Instagram story for The Rock's new movie.
Smashing Machines.
Smashing Machines. He has gotten to see that. So we'll talk to Michael on Friday about The Smashing Machine, The Rock's Oscar turn, potentially.
Yeah.
Has his one of his former co-stars in the previous movie. Has Emily Blunt in it as well. So The Rock, apparently getting good reviews for his performance. We'll see if we'll see if he takes the crown back from Dave Bautista
as the best ex-actor.
I mean, excuse me, ex/current wrestler who's turned actor.
Yeah, I mean, he also has to pick pass Cena.
That's true.
Right now, he's
this season
right
Peacemaker.
He's bronze medal right now.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
Stone Cold.
Unless Randy Orton's been in a.
Stone Cold's been in a couple things.
In Longest Yard, he was pretty good. He has that one iconic line.
I mean, it
that gets clipped every time Camp Scatabue runs.
You know, Stone Cold in that movie fits what you might think a guy who had his persona in wrestling is, but that's not who he is at all.
No, in that movie, he basically played Stone Cold Steve Austin, but the actual guy is different.
Yeah, much different. He played.
He's like giant cats on a farm.
Yeah, he's not that. He's not what you think he is.
Yeah.
But if you had a misconception about what Stone Cold Steve Austin, the actual person, is, the Longest Yard character fits that misconception. So he's up there. Is The Rock behind him too?
I think.
Has The Rock ever been better than anything than Stone Cold was in The Longest Yard?
I think he has.
Was he better in Hobbs and Shaw?
Yes.
Okay. There it is.
Oh, definitely Fast Five. Fast Five was his best performance.
In Black Adam?
No. I think that's part of the reason that we're so down is that it's a cold streak. You know, it's like when we talk about the Astros after they lose a game, where it's like everything's slightly more negative than if they would have just won and everything's more positive. I think that's how The Rock is right now. On form, I think he's below Stone Cold. But I think overall, like body of work, if you're going all the way back, it's like, all right.
Like a game plan.
Yeah, he's got the game plan. He has The Mummy in his back pocket. Like, he has some good movies.
Scorpion King.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, Rampage, when he was helping that giant ape.
Yeah. I like San Andreas. I'm interested if Smashing Machine is better than San Andreas. Or the first Jumanji movie. Not the one with Robin Williams.
Yeah,
the first Rock Jumanji
movie.
Got
it. Rotten Tomatoes gives it 76%, but The Rock's performance itself is apparently carrying that movie.
Okay.
But this isn't about The Rock. You've got like 30 seconds if you want to go see Jared Leto, Jeff Bridges, and others. Greta Lee's in it too, who I like her.
Evan Peters
is in it. Cameron Monaghan, if you would recognize his face from one of the Star Wars video games, and also he was in Shameless as well. He played not the youngest brother, but the second oldest brother in that one. So, give your chance.
False start.
Someone called in early.
Yeah, 10 seconds too early, Tunsil.
No, that caller's being targeted.
Yeah. Okay.
He didn't jump in early. He was targeted. Always put the blame on someone else. All right. We'll get our winner here. And also, we got one more thing to give away a little bit later. We got another pair of tickets to Greek Fest. But this one, four people, three of your closest friends, plus the $100 gift card, which I guess would just pay for all the snacks if you want to do it that way.
Yeah. My first question was like, wait, is Jeff Bridges in this one?
He did ask that. He is in that.
Good.
Flynn is back.
All right. I'm in.
In Tron Ares, coming out October 10th. But our lucky listener will get a chance to watch it a couple days early. And get some snacks. Yeah.
Call in. Tell us what you think about it.
Yeah, we do have that segment on. We're not going to require it of you.
No, you don't have to.
But if you so choose to call in on the Friday after you watch it, we welcome you. Although the person.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say the person who, as we're having this conversation, the person one is talking to Colton right now. But
yeah. Instruct our intern to tell that person to call in if they so choose, if they want to talk about Tron Ares. And you know what? Your review won't matter as much to the client because we've already done the air check stuff, right?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, so if you rip it a week or so from now, it doesn't really matter.
Yes, have as much integrity. Again, why are we talking about this? He's giving his phone number to Colton right now.
These are all things Colton has to relay to him.
Okay.
I just don't want to repeat it, so I'm saying it right now. All right, we'll go to break with that. We just wanted to we love talking about movies, and it gave us the opportunity to do that. Tron: Ares in theaters October 10th. Thank you to them for giving us a chance to give the listener a chance to win something pretty cool. All right, we got a couple more things to do before we wrap it up. We'll go to break. Come back if you want to join us once the lines are clear. 713-780-3776. We'll be back.
Houston's independent voice for sports. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So we talked about Tari Eason yesterday because there was sound from him about wanting an expanded role. We played that sound. He also talked about in his availability on Media Day how he thought he was a top 100 player. And, you know, I mistakenly thought that Jonathan Kuminga was going to get to the season and just sign the qualifying offer, much like Cam Thomas is going to do. Bet on yourself and then, you know, be an unrestricted free agent. I thought that was going to happen. And then it comes out this, right after the show pretty much that Kuminga signs that two-year, $48 million deal. It was pretty much the Warriors after a summer-long negotiation. Here, damn, take it. Just take this because we got to get with our plan of signing Al Horford and other guys, and you're in the way of doing that. It's a two-year deal with a team option, and even all the reporting around it is like it's just set up for them to be able to trade him. And he waived this no-trade clause for it to happen. Kuminga and the Warriors aren't long to be together. Neither one of them can agree on what the role for the other should be. So that seems like an eventual departure, and Kuminga will at least for him be able to make 24 around whatever how it's set up, but AAV of 24 million. So I bring that up to get back to Tari and ask this. We don't know that the Rockets or Tari Eason are in a situation where they don't agree on the role he should play or how much money he should make. But he's going to come up on an extension just like the other guys very recently. Jabari Smith got his. Jalen got his. Of course, now Phoenix is paying for that. And, of course, Alpi got his. The Rockets negotiate. They don't just hand over deals because you were in a draft class and this is what the max salary should be for you. They're not the Orlando Magic or others who have just simply given what was the most that they could give. They have these conversations, and the players, for the most part, it feels like have always maybe not agreed specifically, but there hasn't been any animosity. So I ask you this, Sean. We know they get value on their deals. It's Tari Eason as he stands now. I just looked at the numbers for him and Kuminga. Kuminga was a bit player at points with Golden State.
Yeah.
He will likely
be. He can fill it up, though.
Yeah, he'll likely be a bit player for them because they have Steph and Jimmy. Whether he starts or not, who knows what they want to do. So he's right in the middle of as far as rotation. He'll be in the rotation where he starts, he's a bench player, whatever it is. He's just getting paid $24 million per year. He'll be in the rotation. So if it comes down to it, and I look at the numbers, and they're just counting stats, and I think Tari would be considered a better defender.
Yeah.
Kuminga has that ability, but doesn't feel like it's a priority.
To me, Kuminga is closer to being, like, number one option guy.
That's and what he wants.
Yeah. And that's kind of, like, his game is more scoring and then defense and stuff. It's kind of meh. Not supreme effort, really. Not supreme tools there. And some of that is, like, well, he has tools on offense. He just doesn't have them on defense because he's not trying on defense. And Tari Eason's more like, again, more seamlessly a guy who will pick up the other team's point guard at full court, you know?
Sure. And I would guess the general NBA media mechanism thinks that Tari Eason's a better player than Kuminga.
He's definitely a cleaner fit for his role. And I think that, like, right now they're both sixth men, essentially, on their teams. And one guy is, you know, again, part of, like, a identity with the team. Like, he fits what the Houston Rockets want to be about. They
the
went
big
out.
The big issue for Kuminga is he doesn't fit what the Warriors
exactly.
like to do.
Yeah. It's even less about, like, how good he is. It's more about how he plays, the mentality he has when playing. He just doesn't fit the moving the ball, pinging around, moving, setting screens for Steph.
He's a bucket getter.
Yeah, he wants to be, you know, Tracy McGrady. You know, that's what he wants to do.
So his AAV is 24. Jabari Smith's is 24.4, so right around the same number.
Okay.
Is Tari Eason, no matter the years, is Tari Eason a player who rises to the level where if it comes down to
more or less than 24,
he should be making around what Jabari and Kuminga are making, or should he be making less? Because if he looks around and goes, even if we go by counting stats, my numbers are comparable, particularly to Jabari. Now, I have been less available than Jabari, so that should play a factor.
I think that does.
If he says nothing less than what Jabari or Kuminga are making, are you scoffing at that?
I'm not, like, scoffing. It's not ridiculous, but it is more than I'd want to pay. You know, like, I would have him as, like, a high teens to 20. You know, it's like, once you get to, like, 21, 22, it's, like, hard for me to pay that. Even, you know, not making specifically the Rockets, just because, like, you're paying so much to other guys at that same position. But even just in general, I would have a hard time going over the low 20s for him. And I think that is just availability, honestly. It's just, does he have one healthy season under his belt? This past one was, like, mostly healthy and was a lot of preventative care.
Load management.
Yeah.
Things. He played 57 games this year, so certainly an increase. He only played the 22 in the previous season. But they were still managing him.
Yeah, so
can he be a full, what do you would say? Can he be a full-time 70 game, 65-70, where if he does miss time, it's because a new injury pops up, not because they are aware of the strain that an entire NBA season can put on him.
I think he could do it. You just need like a little bit of luck.
82 in year one, and he hadn't been able to get anywhere near that since.
Yeah, I think he could. Because he, I'm trying to think. I don't remember him being an injury guy. Like you said, he played all 82 year one.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't remember the book on him being like he got injured at LSU or anything. So. I think he can. It's more just like no one really does it. So
the Rockets just happened to have a couple guys, and it was part of what they wanted to be. Jalen and Tari, couple guys who
but
did it.
I think he could. It just he hasn't proven it. That's the thing. He just hasn't proven the availability, and he hasn't proven the increased offensive role stuff. Yeah. So it's hard to pay him like that.
It'll be interesting because we've talked about it here that it goes beyond. Well, how much is he making? What do you envision for him? What does a player envision?
Yeah.
That's what the Warriors are having a problem with.
With Kuminga,
And Tari Eason expressed he believes he's in line for a bigger role. If that role doesn't come, how does that affect, I don't want to say happiness, but his want to be a part of a team where he isn't above maybe fourth on the pecking order? Because if you look at it right now, of course it's Kevin Durant. It's Amen. It's Alperen. And if Fred was here, it'd be Fred. So you're looking at fifth on the pecking order of guys who can be a featured option. Look, I still look at Jabari. Sure, there's growth to his game that's there. But I look at Jabari as a spacer and defender on this roster. There may be more opportunities for him because of no Fred. But Tari's in a role where he's not strictly a spacer. He's you could probably put him in the bucket get it category if you just gave him the basketball and let him go.
Yeah, if you're a less talented team, you could do that.
Yeah, if you had a need for that to have Jabari be more of an offensive threat, you can. But does he see himself as a guy who, at least for the next couple of years, while Kevin Durant is here and Alpi is here, is a guy
auxiliary piece,
is a bench guy who is playing the 20 minutes or so a night he's playing and is a fitting in as opposed to having things fit around him?
Yeah, I think that's a question with Tari and Jabari. And Jabari's game on offense just seems more suited for that because he is a floor spacer. And you can always just use a guy. Oh, this guy plays good defense, good rim defense, and can shoot threes. Oh, okay. You know what? We can figure something out. What happens after he dribbles three times? Don't dribble three times.
We're just not asking him to do that.
Just, if you dribble twice, pick it up, throw it to Amen or Alperen or Kevin Durant. That's what you do. So I think Jabari is just a cleaner fit in that way. But I do think, like, if you're to ask me, like, who I think is better, it's close between those two. So one guy got paid, one guy hasn't yet. I think, I don't know if that's directly the Rockets picking one or if it is just negotiation and Jabari just wanted more security up front. Or
yeah, it took 5 years. Yeah,
yeah, whatever it is. But I it's just tough with Eason because next year you're also going to have to pay him in. And that's like a pretty, like.
How many guys?
I don't think it's a no doubt about it, Max.
Yeah, how many guys in that swing to small ball four exactly. are you going to pay? Exactly. Are you going to pay three guys? Like, Amin's, it's not guaranteed, but it feels like Amin, his He'll trajectory get, and what people believe in him.
Max are close.
He's a guy who the negotiations may lend to, we're talking near max money.
Yeah.
And then are you giving Tari another 20-plus million? How many guys are you going to pay?
Yeah.
So
you just signed DFS. It's not a long deal, but. It's a deal you can get out of
course,
pretty easily.
We haven't even mentioned the likely short max extension that Kevin Durant's going to get.
Durant's probably going to make 50 or 60.
Yeah, you get very expensive very quickly. So they got decisions to make. And unfortunately, at least for Tari, he may be the guy who is at the back end of the list of guys who are going to get paid. And maybe even on the back end of the list of guys who are going to be featured in this offense. It's just part of having all these good problems where you have all these talented players.
I do think, like, if you're to make the case for him having an increased role, it's not super easy to make, but it is. You know, I can see it.
Sure.
Because you are, you know, you're taking out Fred VanVleet. And so there's a world where it's like, oh, Amin and Reed, like, aren't quite ready for it. Some bench units, you know, you're going to stagger Durant and Shagun when you're getting into your rotation. I could see some Tari Eason. Like, they're going to play a lot of guys that definitely aren't initiators. They're going to play Steven Adams, Clint Capella, Dorian Finney-Smith. Like, so there are going to be opportunities for him to be in a lineup where he is the second option. And I think being a second option is perfectly fine for what Tari Eason's proven in the league of, like, hey, can you do this? That's a step up for you, where normally that would be, you know, Fred VanVleet, who is going to be with the ball in his hands. If you make that Reed Sheppard still, you know, with some training wheels on, I think you can make the case that I could that Tari Eason does have an opportunity. It's just not going to be in, like, a super increased role.
So I was listening, but I also something came across my timeline of Kevin Durant on a Netflix show. And
wait. Kevin Durant.
He's not hitting on Kay Adams or flirting with Kay Adams.
Is it him on a Netflix show, like, as in commenting on?
No.
He's in it?
He's in the Netflix show.
Oh, okay.
And it's, as I look at
Black Rabbit?
No, not that. It's a 10-second clip about the NBA. The show's about the NBA. And the biggest thing I've seen, the word I've seen the most is troll. That's the word I've seen. Because it's about him, or at least this segment of it is about him on Twitter and his actions. And it just reminded me, oh, yeah, that's part of him, too.
Like, oh, I've seen – because he was getting into it with somebody this weekend. And I saw some of that. I also saw when he is, like, going back and forth with someone. It's always funny. There's someone on Twitter that will tag Kevin Durant and ask him, like, a very specific basketball question. Like in the way that you would get, like, Bill Belichick to talk for 5 minutes about, like, punting. Mm-hmm. They, like, try to frame a question around, like, this is hoops only, not this blog boy stuff. And Kevin Durant always ignores it and just ripping blog boys.
Yeah.
It's like, no, Kevin Durant wants to make fun of these people. He doesn't actually want to, like, explain about pin down screens, like, with some rando.
He says, I'm here to troll. It's like my coffee in the morning. That's one of the quotes from the short
coffee
clip.
It gets them,
like,
out of bed.
It's like my coffee in the morning. It gets me going for the day.
I like that.
So we'll probably have some moments where we talk about Kevin Durant and him getting after someone because it's part of his bag. Sure, the jumper, the ability to
30,
shake people
points.
At nearly 7 feet tall. Although he doesn't want to admit he's a 7-footer, but also part of his bag is his trolling. So that'll be a part of the Rockets conversation this year.
Do you think that anyone at the station catches one from Durant?
Maybe former members.
Okay.
But the current staff, at best, Jeremy Branham gets involved.
I was going to say.
He's the only one who would get involved.
See, Branham and Zuerlein are the two.
I don't think Well, if Kevin Durant.
I can see Lance emotionally tweeting after, like, a 4-game Rockets losing streak.
It would be that. It would be Kevin Durant misses time and he'll say something sarcastic on Twitter. Who could have guessed that Kevin Durant would miss a couple weeks because of a soft tissue injury, and Kevin Durant gets word of it.
Because Lance something. Has a big enough following to where, like, I could see
someone
that
would,
popping
someone
up
would
on his radar.
On him.
Yeah.
Even if he says it on the air, someone would probably snitch and say, this is what
Branham's got, like, Titus Howard replying to him.
But, Branham would direct it directly.
Yeah, it would be like, is the honeymoon phase with Kevin Durant over they lose on opening
night? And Kevin Durant, not knowing what Branham's about, may very well respond.
By the way, Jeremy, just schedule that right now.
Yeah, just get that out of there.
For 10:30 on whatever opening night is.
Yeah, the Rockets in OKC on ring night. You might want to have that tweet in the holster, just in case. All right, we'll go to break. We got one more segment to go. It'll be a short one. Do we have anything else to give away? Greek Fest. We got one more pair of Greek Fest tickets to give away. So if you want to go to Greek Fest, we'll do that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So that TV show, or Netflix show I was talking about, Starting Five Season 2, where Kevin Durant says, it's like my coffee in the morning to troll.
I was really hoping that it would have been for a Netflix original.
Nah.
It was Bridgerton.
Kevin Durant and Bridgerton. They do like to use their stars across all their other properties.
Platforms.
Can he show up in Bridgerton? I don't know. Well, John Lance had this thing where they were going to give Kevin Durant a no-show job, Tillman was, and all the things he could do. I'd rather have him be in Bridgerton than being a dealer at one of Tillman's casinos.
See him at Kima Boardwalk on Saturday? Yeah. I see him.
I don't need him at the Ferris wheel.
Just with the check, walking out with a check in his hand?
Yeah, no need, Kevin. No need. If you want to act and you want to do more than be on Netflix's Starting Five, take a look at Bridgerton. They're always in need of characters. All right, I did mention this before we go. Greek Fest tickets. Call right now. 713-780-3776. If you want a pair of Greek Fest tickets, now's your time. We do Greek Fest in the city a couple times a year. Of course, this is the fall version of it. And it is the Annunciation Greek Orthodox Cathedral version of it. It's authentic Greek food. Original Greek Festival is back. It goes from tomorrow through Saturday. So 713-780-3776. First caller gets yourself a pair of Greek Fest tickets. You're going to have the food, the wine, the dancing, crafts, and gifts. You can bring the whole family, and there'll be plenty of activities for all starting tomorrow through Saturday at the Annunciation Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Montrose. You can visit GreekFestival.org for details. We're giving away those tickets right now, Greek Fest, and it's a great time. John Selfish, since he's not in town, he didn't set up the food stuff. Lance won't even be here on Friday, so he wasn't going to take advantage of it. But John's still in L.A., so no Greek Fest food for us today. Or excuse me, this week.
Thanks, John.
Not a team player, but I always knew that. And that ends the show. More confirmation that he's a bad person, but you guys should know. You've seen him at one of those. You saw him at the listener party.
You've heard him.
If you heard him on the show. You heard him at the listener appreciation party. Not a good person. Just more confirmation. Putting the kibosh on us getting food. All right. That music means we're done for the day. Rich Eisen is up next. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
For me, I just feel like they're really evil.
That's appropriate for John Granato. Really evil. Shout out to Timothy Weah for calling ex-U.S. players evil.
Lawless and
Eric Winalda, probably. Taylor Twellman. Just because they
John Granato, Lance Erline.
All in the same boat, except at least the first couple names brought me some joy at some point. Lance and John, no chance. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.